I don't blame. Oh, me. I tell you. Oh, me. I want to speak on a subject tonight that we have all have had to deal with it in some form or some fashion, you know, since we've been a Christian. And not only that, but even the non-Christians have to deal with it also. And that's the word embarrassment. Now, how many of you can say today, as a Christian, that you've been embarrassed at times? I know I have. But yet, I'm bringing up some things what we should not be embarrassed about, or we should not be ashamed about. I know over in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, I believe it is, where Paul speaks about it, you know, not to be ashamed. Not to be ashamed of the gospel. And not to be ashamed in what we do for the Lord. And that if we'll put the Lord first, and we'll put our mind and everything focused on the Lord, then the embarrassment or being ashamed, we will not get that way. I know I've been there at a young age, as far as being a Christian. I mean, I just couldn't go around and start talking to people about the Lord and telling them about the plan of salvation, because I felt like that I just didn't know enough of the Bible. Now, we all have felt that way in some time or another. And we still feel it today, that we don't know enough of God's Word to where we can go out here and visit and be able to explain to the people why they must be saved and how they must be saved. You know, people today has got the wrong idea about being saved. They think that you can just come on and you can be saved and you can go out here and you can just live it up and do anything you want to. You cannot do it that way. It's just like, and I don't judge nobody. I can't judge nobody because I'm not the judge. He is the judge. He's the final one that has the final say-so over our life. But we can do some things ourselves to change that perspective toward other people looking at our life. But we have right here in 1 John chapter 1, 1 John 1 in chapter 2, excuse me. And it says right up here, it says in verse 28, "And now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming." What I get out of this and what I see here is, if we are ashamed or if we're embarrassed about what the Lord has done for us, then we're going to be really embarrassed about our life when He shows up to carry us home, whether it's through the grave or through the rapture or the catching away. But He said right here, little children. Now, you know, people today, they don't want to be called little children anymore. They don't want to be called children. You got some people out here don't even like to be called a child. But I'm a child of the King. I'm a child of God. Amen. And in being that child, I had to start out in my Christian life, in my Christian walk, as a little child. As a child. Because it's the same way with that child that we can go to the hospital, we can see our wives, and they can give birth to a child. And when they give birth to that child, what do? Are they going to come home and say, well, honey, I want you to go and put the child over here in the baby bed. But I got to go out and I got to do some things. I got to go to the grocery store and I got to do this. I got to go shopping. No, that's the least thing from your mind. That should be the least thing of a mother's mind is to leave that child. They need to be there with that child to nourish that child, to where that child can grow in strength and can grow up and can be strong in the life that they're living. We also need the Lord also today too that can help us to be strong within Him. People today are not strong enough in the Lord. We can see that. We can look at the church. We don't have to look far. We just have to look around in the church. And we can tell that people are not really strong enough in the Lord. Why? Because they're not here. Because other things has got a hold to them to the point that it will sway them from being close to God. I think it's for a Christian. I think the worst thing a Christian can do, and the way they feel, is know that they're saved and then backslide on the Lord. Get right back out into the world. That is when the people in the church that is strong enough to go up against the things of this world, and we don't have to drive that far, and can get our minds off of what we have studied here. We can go right straight to the top of the hill, up here to the stoplight. When you get to the stoplight, yeah, there's a reminder of the devil. He's on a rampage. But we need to come and ask the Lord to give us strength to where we won't be embarrassed. When I realized in my own Christian life that I was embarrassed and I was ashamed to speak up for the Lord, that reminds me of Peter. How many times was Peter ashamed of the Lord? Many times. How about the other disciples? Yes, many times. But what did they have? They had somebody else there that could help them along the way. That's where the church comes in. We must do everything possible we can to encourage the young Christians. Yeah, we got Christians out here that's been saved for 20, 25, 30 years. But yet they're still that little child. Because they have not matured enough in God's Word. And maturity in God's Word is the same thing as perfection. Which we know that God and the Lord Jesus Christ, He is perfect. He can't do no wrong. But we can do wrong. But thank be unto God, He will forgive us if we will come and ask Him. Now as far as backsliding, people today, I even heard preachers talk about it, say, well, I know people's backslid on God because they're out here in the world, they doing this and they doing that. Where they come from, they come out to beer joints and everything. And now they're right back into the world. They done backslid on God. No, they didn't backslide out there in the world. They backslid here in God's house. You know how to backslide? When they take the mind off of the Lord Jesus Christ. When they take the mind off of the message. When they take the mind off of the Sunday school lesson. When they take the mind off of going and asking, telling somebody, say, I'm glad to see you today. That's how people backslide. Because they don't think about things like that. And we as people, I mean, in a way, we backslide in one way because we don't go to them and help them. We don't go to them and tell them, say, hey, what kind of day did you have? What kind of week did you have? And we'll open the doors up to where for the church, to where people can come in. And yes, they can come in. They can come to the altar and they can get saved. But yet, I'm just as guilty as anybody else. I will just forget about them. I'm not supposed to forget about them. What I need to do then is I need to take them, if it's just one individual or two, three or five or whatever, I need to take them and put them in a classroom where I can teach them the doctrine of God. That I can teach them God's Word and what God expects of the Christian. And I can also teach them the way they need to treat the church. They don't need you just to come into church. I mean, I've been in churches and I've preached in some churches when they invite me and everything, and then I would see people come in. I mean, and they wouldn't be all teenagers or all young people. I mean, it would be some older people. Some's in the 30s and 40s, and some's even in the 50s and 60s. I've seen them actually come into the church, into the sanctuary, and have a bottle of water or have a drink. Pepsi or Coca-Cola, and they'll sit there and they'll drink it during the service. I don't like calling people down, stuff like that. And reminding them of that because I haven't reminded them before that. We need to give them something that they can hang on to when they go home, that they can think about the way they need to act in church. And the way they need to treat God's house. God's house, this property, in the back, even the back property where nobody else can see that's coming up and down the highway. Every bit of it, as long as it's in the, as long as it's in the landmark of the church, it's been dedicated to the Lord. How many of you can remember when Brother Poovey dedicated it to the Lord? Can you remember that? And what we got to realize, we're dedicated this place of worship, and it's not just to worship here in the sanctuary. We should be able to go out and be able to put up chairs right there in the parking lot and worship the true and living God right there. We need to treat that just like we should in here. We should treat right there no different than what we treated in here. I mean, how many of you would like to come in any church and, you know, and we don't have nobody? And I do, and I thank you ladies for what time y'all put down here and keeping the church clean. And I know the reason you do it. You don't do it because you have to. You don't do it because of the deacons or some committee has come up and said, we want you to be over the cleaning of the church. No, I believe that you're here, you keep the church clean, and you keep not only the church clean, you keep the fellowship hall clean. Why? Because you love God and you love His house. We must realize that we need to love God's house. And not only that, we need to love the property that we got out there. Hey, as far as I'm concerned, I know the driveway. Oh yes, it can need upgrading. But you can tell you what we got out there. It's the best the church can provide. So if it's the best that the church can provide, God is not going to take that and condemn us on it. Oh, yeah, they might put in somebody else. Well, I see they're up there and everything. They don't know if fix nothing up around there. True. We try with what we have. We can't do no more than what God has given us. And we cannot do no less than what God has given us. We have to use what we got to where the Lord will be blessed of it. We don't need to be embarrassed about the church. And I'm so thankful that I'm not embarrassed about the church. If I'm embarrassed at all, I'm embarrassed about myself. If I'm embarrassed about anything, I'm embarrassed about myself because of what I don't do and what I know that I need to do. But I know the Lord is not going to allow you, the people here, to continue coming and continue keeping these doors open, and you continue spending your hard-earned money to keep the light bills paid, to keep the oil bill paid, to keep this paid and that paid, the insurance paid. Hey, the Lord's not going to keep you here for that. The Lord has got you here for one reason. For one reason, that you can be a witness for Him. And that's what we are. And I'm so thankful that I don't have to be embarrassed about my witness toward Him. I'm not embarrassed about His salvation. I'm not embarrassed about anything that He does for me. I'm grateful. If He don't do nothing else for me, I still ain't got a thing in the world to complain about. And we should not be. This is going to hit home on me. We should know. I need to get to the point in my life that I don't need to be embarrassed about the service that He's laid on my heart. The service that He's called me to do. We should never be embarrassed about the service that Almighty God has given us. Because God has entrusted us with what? With individual souls. God has entrusted us the same way He entrusted His Son, Jesus Christ. Which I know, Jesus Christ, He knew no sin. He became no sin. He was perfect. That's where, as far as we should not be embarrassed for salvation or be embarrassed about the service, it's where we can mature, where we can grow in the grace and the knowledge and the truth of His Word, to where we don't have to be embarrassed. I'm so thankful that God has given us the Word. God has given us instructions here to use. And God just didn't pin His instruction here in this book for us just to look at it and read it. Go on to something else. No. He give us the Word to where the Word will instruct us in the way that we need to go. It will teach us things that we need to be taught. We can be a stronger Christian. And we should never be embarrassed about being separated. It said, be separate, saith the Lord. Be separate. What is he saying? Be separate of what? Be separate of the sin that I just come out of. Be separate of the things that I hear in the world is trying to get a hold of me. Yes, there's things that's trying to get a hold of me. Yes, the devil would love to have me. The devil wants me. I know that. But I'm so thankful that not only did he separate me, says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17, says, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And I touch not the unclean things, and I will receive you. Verse 18. And will be a father unto you. He's saying to me, if you just separate yourself from all this other stuff I hear, and if you'll just heed the instructions that I give you, I'll be your father. You can come to me and ask me about this and about that, and I won't criticize you. See, I think really, I know I did. Right when I first got saved, and I went out on visitation, and the individual that I went out with, he told me, he said, now, he says, I know you don't know anything about it, about this or what we're going to do, but what I want you to do is I want you to sober and I want you to listen. Listen to me. Listen to what I say. He said, now don't you, say that I'm giving the gospel, but you listen. And you make sure that you can take that and you can take it home with you. And you can chew over it a little bit. You can kind of gnaw at the meat a little bit. You're still a baby, but you need to come off at milk. Like it says in 1 Peter. You need to come off at sincere milk. You need to get on something stronger. That's what you want to do. You not only showed me, you not only showed the other individuals that come here, that come out on visitation, and the church, but you showed it to the Lord God Almighty. You showed it to the one that saved your soul. You showed the Father that you are willing to grow. You don't want to stay as a baby. I didn't. I wanted to learn all I could. But I got to the point that I said, Lord, I said, I just don't understand it. I just don't understand it. And then that's when I seen that over in John 14 and verse 26, the latter part of that. He basically, what the Lord Jesus is saying right there, the Lord Jesus is saying that when you need it, I'll give it to you. I'll allow the Holy Spirit to reveal what you need for that particular time. If you don't need it, you don't need to be bogged down with that. And that's what I was trying to do. I was trying my very best to do everything that this Bible said. And I couldn't, I got to the point I just didn't understand it. He says, I just want you to get in, you just read. You just read, you pray, and you read the Bible. Then I will give you the understanding of what you need. Because why should I give you something that maybe your pastor may need? You don't need it. And it was just like when I had to go and visit that family where the sister had called me and told me that her sister passed away. She took her own life. I went to the home, and while I was there, the the other children that was there, and the sister that called me, that was a member of the church at the time. She says, "Preacher, I just don't understand how God would save her. Now she's committed suicide and she's in hell today." I says, "No, she's not. If she ever trusted Jesus Christ as her personal Lord and Savior, if His blood has been applied to her life, she's just as much as in heaven today as you're going to be if you was to pass away today, and just as much as I would be if I happened to pass away. She's just as much, because God would not allow His Son to go to the cross and to die for individuals and to die for people to where He couldn't keep them saved." And I told her sister, I said, "I know what you're going through and everything. I know that." I said, "But I want to ask you something. I said, was you satisfied in your heart of hearts yesterday that your sister was saved?" She said, "Yeah. I know my sister was saved. I was here at the house when she got saved." "Well, after she got saved, what happened?" She said, "She got in church." I said, "Did she just go to church a few times and then just went about her business?" She says, "No. First time she went to church after she was saved. She's been in church ever since then. She tried her very best to keep her children in church. But you know, your children, you can't do with so much." I says, "If you are satisfied in your heart of hearts that she was saved, and if she was saved, and if she trusted Jesus Christ, glory be to God, when you take your last breath, you're going to be able to see your sister one more time. And the next time you see your sister, it ain't going to be that. She ain't going to be in pain. She's not going to be in no agony. But she's going to be there just loving God." And I told her, I says, "Now she's got the glorified body. She's got the glorified mind." And I says, "I'm going to tell you something else. She's just 33 years and 4 months old." She says, "What?" I said, "Yep." I said, "That's the last time that anybody seen Jesus on the face of this earth before He was crucified. 33. I said, how can a Savior like that go and save somebody and can't keep them saved? I don't understand that. That's just the same way these people out here that's preaching eternal security. I want to ask them, I said, "Well, you don't believe in eternal security, do you?" I says, "Well, when was the last time that you heard of Jesus Christ going to the cross and hanging between heaven and earth. When's the last time you heard about that? They say, oh yeah, he died way back then, years ago, over 2,000 years ago. I says, he did? They say, yeah, he did. I said, well, hey, you just told me that he didn't. He said, I did not. I said, yes, you did. You told me you didn't believe in eternal security. And if you don't believe in eternal security, then he had to come back from a glory. The Father had to send him back to earth. And he had to be born through the Virgin Mary. And he had to have that dove land there. And he was born in a castoff. And he was laid in a trough. Where the cattle thirst. And they went in there and they drank the water that they put in the trough. And then after they drank some water, then they went over there and they went to the other side and they stuck their head in there and they got a little feed. He's the bread of life. You take a drink from him, you'll never thirst. But we should not be embarrassed. And especially with our family. I know that one time I had a brother that was next to me. I went to him and I talked to him. I knew he wasn't saved, and I just said, Darrell, I says, you know, God can save you. And God can help you with what you're going through. Because he had, I think it was 2 back surgeries, and plus he was a drunk. And he was a drug addict and all of that. I said, but God can help you. You cannot. I says, and he said, well, just as soon as I give it up, just as soon as I quit it, I'll think about coming to church. I said, well, I'll never see you in church again. I said, because you cannot give it up. Well, he told me, he said, well, you know, I don't think God would want me in his house. I don't think God would want me in his church. Well, in the way that I'm living. I says, that's the reason God establish the church is for individuals like you and like me. I was there one time. I know what you're going through. He said, Donnie, he said, you never walked in my shoes. I said, but one thing about it, with God, that's sin. S-I-N, sin. God can forgive me of my sin. He can forgive you of yours. Then I went out to another, about a month later. No, I don't know, about 3 or 4 months later, I believe it was. Now, Went out there and talked to him. He says, Donnie, he says, Ma, we're going home. He says, no need coming back out here. If that's the only thing that you're going to come out here and preach to me, don't come no more. I said, okay. I said, I'll be back. I said, but I ain't going to bring up the Lord. And I ain't going to bring up church. I ain't going to bring up nothing about that at all. I'm going to just come visit you and see how you're doing and everything. He said, if you don't come like that, that's fine. And I did. He told me, he said, Donnie, he says, the only one that loves me is the devil. I said, I beg your pardon. And I mean, I just left it at that and everything. And one day, I got a call. Come to the hospital. He was basically the alcohol and the hard drinks and everything had got a hold to his body. And I went up there to the third floor, I believe it was, and I saw him in there. I didn't want to go in there. I didn't recognize him. Looked like he'd gained 300-400 pounds. What there was, that was nothing but fluid. Fluid was building up because his liver was about shot. Then he finally ended up going to Duke, and then he told him down at Duke, and they got the fluid off of him and everything, and he come back home and he had to go back down to Duke to see the doctor. While he was in there seeing the doctor, she told him, she says, Mr. Mahan, I'm going to tell you something right now. You can have a long life ahead of you if you want it. But you got to want it yourself. And that means you got to quit. You got to go cold turkey. You got to quit. And I was there in the room with her. And she told me. She told him too. Because she asked him, says now, I want to ask you, what do you drink? Do you drink liquor? Or do you drink beer? He says, beer. I drink maybe 2 cans a day. And this is what come out of that doctor's mouth, and she told him. And I never did think about it in that way either. But she told him, she says, the worst thing that you can do and the worst thing that anybody can do is get hooked on beer. He says, an individual is better to go and pull a good hangover on a weekend than go back to work on Monday. Because it don't take but 24 hours. And that the alcohol is getting out of your system. It gets out of your system every moment. She says, every day that you drink beer, you're allowing the alcohol to stay in you. And I never thought about it that way either. But it won't long after that. Carried back to Duke. They got my mother down there on Saturday. I believe it was a Saturday morning. Sunday. Sunday, and we went down there. I knew my mother. I knew she was going to be all two pieces. And rightfully so. I mean, a mother that wouldn't be all in all the pieces, and some seeing a son there on the bed dying and everything. He was on life support too. But, you know, I would think, you know, that mother ain't much of a mother. But we went down there. We didn't get down there until after all the other family had got down there. And when we got down there, I hadn't been there 3 minutes. And with my mother and with one of my brothers, other brothers, yeah, they come out from back at the back end from the room, was right straight down the hall. They come out from in there. And I could tell she'd been holding it in, but when she come out, she was, it was hard to see her cry like that. But she says, I told her, I said, well, I won't go back and see him. I said, come on, Mama. I'll go with you back there. She says, nope, I can't go back out. I said, why? She said, he told me not to. He told me as soon as you got there that he wanted to talk to you. I mean, when I walked back in there, I just had just walked through the door and they had the curtain and everything all around it. But he had been, I mean, after 56 or 57 years and knowing him, I have never in my life have ever seen a tear from his eyes. But that day, they was coming. First thing he said, Donnie, I want to be saved. I said, well, he ain't nothing to it. I said, all you got to do is just ask Jesus. I said, I can't save you. I said, you could have done that long before while I was driving down here. And I said, Darrell, I said, I'd love to be able to touch you right now and say, heal, and you'd be healed. I said, but I can't do nothing for you. I says, but Jesus can do all things for you. And I says, he said, I don't know how to get saved. I said, you done come past the hard part. Now all you got to do is just ask him. I said, I can't save you myself. And he cried, I've never seen my brother ever shed a tear until that day. I don't like people. I love all people. But one thing I do hate, and I despise it with a passion, that is the alcohol beverage. The beer, the liquor, and all of that, and the wine. I despise it. Because I know what it can do to an individual's body. And I'm going to be honest with you. And I'm going to close with this. When I went to the doctor that hell a while back, probably last year, I believe it was, And when he said something to me about my lover, and then he called it cirrhosis of the liver, I said, wait a minute. I said, I ain't drank. He says, no. He says, it's the cirrhosis is just the name that they put out there. He says, it's not there. He says, you got cirrhosis of the liver. That is where it's just like you got, where it just affects your liver and everything. But then he says, then you got cirrhosis of the liver of alcohol. And he says, I can tell, I can tell if you've had some alcohol or whatever. But I'm saying this, and all of what I just said, if I would have listened to my brother when he told me not to come out there no more, if all I was going to do is go mention church, he needed his brother to be a friend to him. That's what I needed to be, a friend to him. Because see, at that time, he didn't think he had no friends. And I'm so thankful that I did not give up. I did not quit. I did not quit praying for him. Because when I left him that day, when he told me not to come back, if I was all I got to do was come and bring up a church or anything like that, he told me, he says, just don't come no more. That's the only thing you can do. I said, well, no, I said, I'll be back. I said, I ain't going to bring your church up. I'm not going to bring anything up. I'm not going to bring up your Bible. I'm not going to bring none of it up. I said, I'm just come out here and visit you and see how you doing. I says, When you want me to bring it up, you'll bring it up. And he said, okay. He said, you're welcome back anytime, but just don't bring up church. I said, no. I said, I tell you what. So I'll make a deal with you. He said, don't make no deal with me. I said, well, I'm not going to bring the church up to you. I'm not going to bring God up to you. I said, but I am going to bring you up to God. And someone said, well, how did you know he was really saved? I said, when he come home from the hospital for 5 days, he stayed with my mother. They were sitting down that morning to eat breakfast. I know it's getting a little late, but I know. But sitting down for breakfast that morning, and my mother said, "Everything okay?" I mean, you know, she fixed him you take him to a house, she'd fix a meal like you at the, at a palace or something like that. But she says, don't you like it? Don't you want that? He said, yeah. He said, well, Mama, we ain't done that. He says, one thing we'll do. She said, what's that? He says, I got to pray over this meal. And I hadn't said anything to him at all about that. But he knew what he had to do. You know, even family. Family wants friends. Family wants us to be their friends. And like I've told you many times before, I'll do anything in the world for any one of y'all. Even your family. If you'll let me know. I just don't want to, I'm not the type of individual just to drive up and come see them or something like that. Because I think really the family member needs to also be praying for the family members if they want the pastor to come by. And then the Lord, through the power of the Holy Spirit, will touch that family member about allowing somebody else to go see them. Because sometimes we can't talk, we can't talk to them about church. They won't listen to us. And I don't know why, but they just, they just don't. But we don't need to be embarrassed. I'm gonna ask all of you something right now. Are you embarrassed about the Lord Jesus going to Calvary for you? We don't need to be embarrassed. Because he's done so much more for us. I mean, hallelujah. He's been better to me than I could ever be to him. And I don't want to ever have to be embarrassed. I don't want to ever have to be embarrassed about the church. Because if I'm embarrassed about the church and what the church is doing, then I'm embarrassed about what he's done for me also. Lord, we thank you for this evening. And Father, we ask, Lord, that you will take what was said tonight, Father. And Lord, that you may help each one of us to really realize that sometimes we do get embarrassed. Sometimes we are ashamed. But Father, help us, Lord, that we will never be embarrassed again for what you've done for us. The Lord, to where we can't go out and visit the people and just allow the people to let them know that I want to be a friend to them. And Father, with that being that friend to them, Lord, if they truly know that, and they truly realize that we are friends, that they can tell us, and they can just bring it up and they can tell us something, Father. But Father, when somebody else tells us something, we should not tell nobody else. We should be just like you. That you do not go around gossiping. You do not go around spreading rumors, Lord. Father, because that's all it is rumors. And it's enough of that rumors and enough of gossip going around. Father, I pray, Lord Jesus, that you be with us the remainder this evening. Be with the remainder this week. Help us, Lord, that we will always be minded from the Word of God that you have your best interest at our disposal. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen.